Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Since St. Patrick's Day falls right on today on a Sunday, I thought I would be amiss if I didn't focus on St. Patrick today and who he really was. And so I'm going to do that. And I'm also going to take a little look at St. Paul as well, because there's a lot of similarities between the calling of St. Paul and the calling of St. Patrick as well. And so we're going to consider those things, those significant things that St. Patrick contributed to the spread of the gospel and the growth of Christianity, especially in Ireland. Now, the enduring traditions of St. Patrick are, of course, things like his use of the shamrock, which I showed to the children here in the children's message. And then the other real, you know, big legend is that he drove the snakes out of Ireland. And there's some question about whether or not that really happened, just a legend. Some people say that it's a result of really some symbolism there, that the snake is a symbol of paganism, and that perhaps that Patrick bringing the gospel figuratively drove the snake of paganism out of Ireland. But the true story of Patrick survives not in these legends, but in his work as a Christian missionary. And the story behind St. Patrick's Day is about a real man who lived and worked to bring Christianity to Ireland. And the man that we know as St. Patrick was born to a Romanized family around 385 AD and what is now known as Great Britain. And his given name was Marwin Sucot, but he took the name Patrick, or Patricus in Latin, several years later when he became a priest. And he spent his childhood exploring the area around the coast of Britain and listening to his father, Calpurnius, who was a Christian deacon, preach the gospel to the town folk. And when Patrick was 16, his village was attacked by a band of Irish warriors. And Patrick wrote in his spiritual autobiography, Confessio, "I was taken captive as a mere child." And in his later writing, Epistola, he pleads the case of the Christian Irish at the hands of their British conquerors decades later. He also wrote a song that has survived called St. Patrick's Breastplate, which we sang in the early service today. Patrick was sold into slavery along with hundreds of other people. And for six long years, he tended his captor's sheep in the rolling green fields of Ireland. And he says, "I was reduced by hunger and poor clothing, and every day I was in Ireland, I had to travel against my will. But during the long, harsh days, along with the herds, Patrick began to pray, and little by little, his faith in Christ grew. More and more my love of God and reverence for him began to increase," he wrote. "My faith grew and my spirit was stirred up." Finally, when he was 22 years old, Patrick managed to escape his bondage and return to his family. And by now, his love of Christ had made him determined to become a priest and then to return to Ireland to preach there someday. And for 12 years, he lived and studied in European monasteries. And when the opportunity finally came, Patrick tearfully bid his family and friends goodbye, and he returned to Ireland as a missionary. For 30 years, he traveled widely, preaching, baptizing, confirming, and building churches, schools, and monasteries. And God worked through Patrick to convert a large percentage of the population of the island to Christ. At the time he began preaching, most Irish people followed the Druids and worshiped pagan gods. As Patrick traveled the countryside and spoke of his beliefs, many people became eager to learn about the new way of life that he preached. But the Druid priests of the old religion attacked and persecuted Patrick and anyone who followed him. Patrick knew he needed more help against the Druids, so he went to the court to gain the favor of the Irish High King, Leghair. And although the king himself didn't convert to Christianity, he was impressed with Patrick and how bravely he handled the Druid attacks. And so King Leghair allowed Patrick to preach, and many people in the royal court even became Christians. But the Druids were not finished with Patrick. They were bitter about his friendship with the king, and they kept trying to get rid of him. "I daily expect to be murdered or robbed or reduced to slavery," he wrote. Not only was he in constant danger, but he also missed his family terribly. "I have given up country and kinfolk," he wrote, but his love for Christ and his devotion to the Irish people overpowered his homesickness again and again. "How dearly I would love to go like a man going to his homeland and relatives. I yearn for it, but the Lord told me to come here and stay with the Irish for the rest of my life." And Patrick did. He retired to country Down, and he died in Ireland on March 17, 461 A.D. "I cannot hide the gift of God which he gave me in the land of my captivity," Patrick wrote. "There I sought him, and there I found him." Patrick knew, as did the Apostle Paul, that he was a child of God through faith in Jesus. By God's grace through faith, he had been adopted into the family of Christ and was now an heir of all the spiritual riches of God's kingdom. And just as Paul was compelled by the Holy Spirit to preach the good news of Christ to the Gentiles, Patrick was compelled to preach the good news of the gospel to the Irish people so that they too could become children of God. St. Patrick is a wonderful example of a Christian who takes seriously the call and commission of Jesus to make disciples of all nations. God may not call you or me to share the gospel for any length of time in a foreign land, but he does expect us to be sharing the good news with our friends, our family, our co-workers, and our neighbors all around us. God doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to have eternal life through his son Jesus. As both Paul and Patrick discovered, living out the Christian faith in a pagan world is not easy. Standing up for Christ and openly sharing our faith can result in ridicule, mistreatment, persecution, and afflictions from those who we are trying to reach and to help. But that didn't stop St. Paul, and it didn't stop St. Patrick. They kept right on living out and sharing their faith. And we too can be encouraged by their example to stand firm and to be bold in our witness. We are, after all, the children of God, and our real home is in heaven. We are merely passing through this earthly wilderness to a better world to come. But just because we are God's children doesn't mean that our life here is going to be free from pain and from trouble. As long as we are in this sinful world, we will have struggles and experience pain and losses. So Paul, to encourage us, tells us in our second lesson for today, from Philippians chapter 3, "But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, who, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. That's how St. Paul and St. Patrick saw it. And by God's grace, that's how we will see it too. The momentary suffering that we endure in this life cannot be compared to what God has in store for us as his children. Like Paul and Patrick, we too, with the Lord's help, can press on toward the goal to win the prize that Jesus has won for us. So, my brothers and sisters, don't lose hope. Don't back down. Remain steadfast in your trust in Christ. Keep running the race. Believe that even though we live in a dangerous and troubled world and in uncertain times, God, our Father, is with us. Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. The Holy Spirit will give us faith and courage to endure and even conquer as we travel to our heavenly home. For Jesus' sake. Amen. And may that peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.